are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock with you on this Monday edition of the show. Haven't done a mailbag in a couple weeks or a full mailbag episode, so that's what today's going to be about. We're getting prepped for the free agency period that will be, well, the initial negotiating, the AKA legal tampering period, as it is called sometimes. That opens up today, 9 a.m. Pacific time Monday. Teams can start talking and negotiating with agents of to-be free agents, and then at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, everything can start becoming official, and we'll probably know about some things actually before that ink can dry. And so hopefully Monday, by the time you're listening to this, there's some major action going on with the 49ers. I know a lot of fans are very excited about who those names could be that the 49ers might be bringing in this season. And we'll see if John Lynch and company is a little more aggressive on the free agent market, as I expect this offseason. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. LockedOn49ers.com. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to hit me up. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, drop me a line, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Some pre-free agency 49ers news. We all know about Robbie Gould getting the franchise tag, but the 49ers had picked up some team options. Kyle Juszczyk, Cassius Marsh, Dakota Watson, and Kaywan Williams, all of their team options for 2019 have been picked up, and then they tendered restricted free agent Raheem Mostert with a fairly low tender. I don't think coming off his injuries, and you know, he's mostly a special teams guy. We'll see if a team wants to throw an offer his way, the 49ers can match it. I don't know if he'll even get that, and if they do, maybe that is what the 49ers want, so they'll know what his market rate is, and then just match that deal, and then keep Raheem Mostert. But I'd be very surprised if they lost Raheem Mostert to any other team's offer. Adam Schefter dropping a little bomb on Sunday night, just before free agency begins. The Rams reached agreement with defensive end Dante Fowler. Fowler opting to stay in L.A. rather than hit the open market. Rams keep Fowler and add Eric Weddle. So Eric Weddle heading to the Rams after he was cut by the Baltimore Ravens, and they hold on to, looks like, a one-year deal, according to Ian Rappaport, for Dante Fowler. So there's another edge rusher off the market. And, of course, the big news that dropped late Saturday night, Oakland Raiders have traded for Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And all it took was a third and fifth round draft pick. And I know some 49ers fans, their ears perked up and they thought, wait a second, that's all it took? A third and fifth round draft pick? I think that tells you how few teams were actually willing to give up a lot for Antonio Brown's services with the circus that's been surrounding him. But then you realize, man, Antonio Brown was the big winner in all of this. And he caused it. And he got $30 million extra guaranteed dollars in this contract. So he had zero guaranteed dollars in his contract. So he got a raise. $30 million guaranteed are now in his contract. No extra years, but he seems to be pretty happy. And this is him doing an Instagram live video. And then Derek Carr, of all people, pops up in the comments of this video saying, "You open?
DC! Hey, DC.
Love you, Brody.
Hey, DC, when you ready, man, I'ma send a jet. I'ma send a jet, DC. We survey, baby."
I guess he's got send a jet money now, which $30 million, I guess you'd be pretty happy having a dance party, filming a live video of your pool party that's happening in the middle of March, which wouldn't be happening in Buffalo. He would definitely not be having a pool party celebrating this contract. So Antonio Brown sounds like he got to go where he wants to go, got the money he wanted to get out of all this, guaranteed dollars. And the Oakland Raiders, I have no idea. Like, talent-wise and just football-wise, getting Antonio Brown for a third and fifth round pick is a huge win, especially when you consider they got a number one pick back for Amari Cooper that they're going to be drafting. What, 20, can't remember if it's ended up being pick 24 or pick 27. Yeah, pick 24 is the one they got from Dallas, and pick 27 is the one they got from the Khalil Mack trade, plus another future first coming still with Khalil Mack. But the Amari Cooper, so Amari Cooper and a third and a fifth round pick you trade for Antonio Brown and a first. That's a massive win for Oakland right there, football-wise. Get a better player. I mean, Antonio Brown's at the end of his career, so the question is now, he's 31 years old. He's good. I think I have no problem with the way he plays right now, with the way he played last year. Took a slight dip, but that dip could get very steep. And in, say, 2-3 years, when all of these draft picks come of age, is Antonio Brown going to still be good? Is he still going to be around for Oakland? So that part of the football equation, I don't know if that stuff makes sense for me right now for just the way that Oakland is built. And is Antonio Brown going to be super pissed off when the Raiders start losing a bunch of games next year? So the Raiders still have to draft their way out of this, and they've got a bunch of picks to try to do that with. The Khalil Mack trade still doesn't make a lot of sense with all this, but they've got a lot of draft capital to work with, and so we'll see what the Raiders are able to do. You know what would be really, I guess funny is not the right word, but Antonio Brown's going off and heaping all of this praise on Derek Carr. What if the Raiders do something crazy and go get Kyler Murray in the draft? Then I wonder how that will all work out. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be an interesting scenario. And Hard Knocks is probably just salivating right now to get their hands on the Raiders. So I'd be surprised if this summer the HBO show is not having the Oakland Raiders on there, because with the move to Las Vegas and all the personalities and Gruden and Mayock, and now you add the Antonio Brown stuff to it, I don't see how the NFL and HBO would not want the Oakland Raiders to be the team on Hard Knocks. And they're one of the teams that can't say no to it, as are the 49ers. But we don't need to talk anymore about the Antonio Brown stuff. He is not going to be a 49er. We can end that conversation, and it's being covered everywhere nationally. You guys don't need me to rehash all of the stuff about Antonio Brown. I've said all I need to say about that. I think the 49ers were right in the end, probably not bringing that baggage into their locker room. As long as they hit on a wide receiver in the draft, maybe Odell Beckham Jr. could be in the works. And after the whole Antonio Brown thing ended, Adrian Colbert goes on to Twitter and hollers at OBJ and says, yo, just a simple yo with about four O's. So here we go again. Now we'll see what happens with Odell Beckham, if he's actually going to be traded or not. I have my doubts there. Will cost a little bit more than a third and a fifth round pick. Maybe the Giants and 49ers can get together on a draft day trade, moving down from 2 to 6. I don't know. A lot of scenarios there, a lot of possibilities when it comes to the draft, but we are in the eve. Well, we're in the 48 hour period before free agency. So let's talk about that, and let's get into this mailbag and put off some NFL draft stuff for at least this week for the most part. So let's get into that Locked On 49ers mailbag. Let's go to Manny on Twitter. He said, I love your shadow drafts. So what's your ideal shadow free agency signings? Manny, this one's a little bit more difficult, because as far as shadow drafts goes, you know who the players that are available in the draft board, and you get to pick whoever you want of who's available. Because when I do that, I pick alongside the 49ers, you know, while they're picking, I'm picking. When it comes to free agency, you don't know what players are willing to go to your team, what they will accept. So that's really hard. But as far as an ideal free agency period, I think for the 49ers, they would add one edge guy. My top guy would be Justin Houston. Earl Thomas makes way too much sense for the 49ers. So if they're able to do something like Earl Thomas and Justin Houston, I think whatever else happens, and they would definitely not be spending a lot more money than that. And I would be surprised if they sign more than one big money free agent. And I mean, there, you can't build a team through free agency, and you can't build a team through trades and high priced players and veterans from other teams. You've got to draft your way into being a really good team. We've seen that for well over a decade now with the New England Patriots. They let all of their big money free agents go, and they keep turning it around because they got a good coaching staff. They bring in good players, and they find bargains where they can, and they've got a great quarterback and coach. And that's a lot of it, and that's the most of it. So if the 49ers have a good quarterback and coach, they should be able to develop some talent around those guys and be a pretty good football team. But you can supplement that through free agency, and right now the 49ers are in a position where they have to show a little urgency, and they've got to win early and often next year. So I think they will dip into the free agency class, And if they do, it probably will be on shorter deals and deals that they could get out of in a couple of years. If they do draft and develop well, then they can move on when some of these and like we've seen from some of the free agents they added just a couple of years ago are already gone. So Earl Thomas, Justin Houston, I would start there, and I would not expect any more big signings, maybe a little cornerback here, some depth on the offensive line, you know, some minor pieces. But those are the two guys I would be charging at hard when free agency opens Monday. And by the way, the Justin Houston tie-in here, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but the whole reason that the shadow drafts exercise that I do, the whole reason that exists, it started from an idea that basically was sparked by Justin Houston, oddly enough. In the 2011 draft, me being a draft Nick for a long time, even before that, Justin Houston was my draft crush that year. He was the guy that I wanted the 49ers to take. I was okay with him even being a first-round pick, and for sure he would have been my shadow 49ers draft pick in the second round. That would have been the Colin Kaepernick selection. And in the first round, it was between J.J. Watt and Robert Quinn. The 49ers, shortly after 2011, it looked like they hit huge, with Colin Kaepernick being a franchise quarterback and Aldon Smith in the first round being a stud edge rusher. But then that sort of, you know, as those two guys' career went in crazy directions and unforeseeable directions, really, the guys like, I mean, imagine J.J. Watt and Justin Houston at those two spots for the 49ers, right? And so I was thinking, man, this I got to document this, because me saying, hey, I would have taken J.J. Watt, it sounds stupid in hindsight and after the fact, you know, and Justin Houston. And 100% Justin Houston would have been the pick. So that got me thinking. I was like, I got to document this. In 2012, it was like really busy, and I didn't really start doing the shadow draft in 2012. When I should have, because that was an epic failure of a draft for the 49ers. The A.J. Jenkins draft, one of the worst drafts in 49ers history. I don't think anybody's even in the league still. Maybe, I think Joe Looney might still be hanging around with the Cowboys as a backup offensive lineman, but that's the only guy that's even on an NFL roster right now. And then after that disaster of a draft, I was like, okay, I got to start documenting this stuff. So then in 2013 is when the shadow 49ers drafts officially started, and all that stuff is documented. And I really want to be able to go back, and when someone talks about a draft pick, I want to say the guy I would have taken then, that day, on draft day, I would have taken this player. I think it's important, rather than being the hindsight GM and being like, oh, well, look who got drafted the pick after the 49ers selected, or 10 picks later, or they could have drafted this guy instead. I made the call at the time, and I'll live with those decisions. And so if I'm ever going to, you know, bash the 49ers for who they drafted, I got to go back and say, okay, well, I would have actually taken this one player, and I've got documentation to prove it. So that's why. And I like to remember the guys I like. So when I do the write-ups, I talk about other players that I'm thinking about in certain areas, because I like to remember who I liked and go back and see how I'm doing. Keep score a little bit. Self-scout. Let's move on to Lauren. She says, if we get Ford, do you think it's more likely we will move down instead of getting Bosa at number two? That's a great question, Lauren. And I think now that Justin Houston has officially been released by the Kansas City Chiefs, I think it's much less likely that D. Ford will get traded. I think maybe they were trying to trade Justin Houston. They realized they weren't going to be able to trade him and his big $15 million salary. So they thought, well, maybe we'll hang on to Justin Houston and we'll trade D. Ford under the franchise tag instead, maybe try to get a second rounder out of him and then keep Justin Houston. And I think it turned out they weren't able to figure out a trade, so they just released Justin Houston. I'd be surprised if they lose both of those players, because you can't lose two stud edge rushers. They'd be back where the 49ers were last year, with basically one good defensive tackle in Chris Jones and no edge presence, no edge rush. And they franchise tagged Ford for a reason. So I think they were able to lose one. They tried to trade both guys. It didn't happen. Justin Houston has been released. I'd be surprised if Ford gets moved. But it's the same idea. If the 49ers did sign a big time, or the biggest time pass rusher that is on the free agent market, say Justin Houston, the 49ers sign him, I think it does give you a lot more flexibility to trade down from number two. Because Justin Houston, I think, is a player who could play that Leo spot full time. I think he could stand up and do some Sam linebacker type stuff. So Bosa would definitely fit with Justin Houston, but also players like Josh Allen and Brian Burns could also fit with Justin Houston. So they could definitely trade down knowing that they have at least one player who's a 10 sack per year guy and still playing at a very high level, even though he might not be the 22 sack guy he was in 2015. But injury wise, maybe if he's a little healthier next year than he was last year, maybe those numbers could kind of dip back up a little bit, because 30 years old for a pass rusher isn't that old. It's not like a running back whose wheels fall off like some positions. I think it's Cameron Wake is 39 years old and still going for the Dolphins and playing at a high level. So pass rushers can go for a little while. Justin Houston, that's the name I'd be looking at for the 49ers. And maybe even over Earl Thomas, just because of how important that position is. But to answer your question, I think it does make it easier. And I think the 49ers have to go in thinking that Bosa might go number one still. So they definitely have to attack the edge position in free agency and get at least a very good rotational pass rusher. And Dante Fowler was sort of my guy that I thought that idea might work with, and now he's been re-upped for at least 1 year with the Rams, so he's off the market. But the better rusher they can get, whoever the best pass rusher is basically that wants to come to San Francisco, I think they gotta do whatever it takes market value to sign that guy. Henry asks, no reason Earl Thomas shouldn't be a 49er, right? I think the only reason he wouldn't is because the Dallas Cowboys come in with a proper offer and he wants to go home and play in Texas. That's really the only reason Earl Thomas doesn't end up being a 49er. And that's a possibility. And there were reports that maybe the Cowboys were out, and then now we're seeing reports that the Cowboys are still in on Earl Thomas. So we'll see. I think the 49ers can outspend. Are they willing to outspend for Earl Thomas? Are they willing to gamble on that latest broken leg that Earl Thomas has? Do they want some insurance? Maybe are they going to draft a guy still to make sure? I mean, I don't know, but I think it's important. Earl Thomas makes a lot of sense for the 49ers. I told Ryan Covey on 95.7. By the way, congrats to Ryan Covey on his new job at 95.7 The Game. And I was on his radio show on Sunday, and he asked a similar question. And I said, you know, 60% chance. And if the Cowboys are out, it's like 80, 90% chance that Earl Thomas is on the 49ers. But, you know, another team could come in with a whole bunch of money and outspend the 49ers and maybe just do something they're uncomfortable with. That's always a possibility. But again, I think the 49ers with Earl Thomas could do something where they structure it to where if he doesn't work out or he gets hurt again or whatever, or falls off a cliff athletically because of his injuries, they can get out of it in a couple of years. But he's such an instinctive player, sort of like how Eric Weddle has played forever and now still gets signed to the Rams. I think he's that sort of a difference-making player instinctively. The angles he takes, he just plays so well. And even if he's not the insanely rangy single-high center fielder that he once was, he'll be a good safety for a very long time. Let's go to Frank. He said, call me crazy, but can this happen? Giants trade is OBJ. We go down to 6, and they take a quarterback. Do we call the Jets and trade back up for Bosa? I like that. I've heard some other ideas about that, about sort of moving back down and then moving back up. Look, if you're at pick 2, Nick Bosa's on the board, and you know you can make a deal where you get a little extra something and you still move down and you end up with Bosa, you have to do it. It makes 100% sense, right? But I have my doubts that teams are going to let that happen and it's that easy. But let's say if maybe the Jets have Quinnen Williams ahead of Bosa, and the 49ers trade out of number 2. Bosa's on the clock at 4. The Raiders, they're not going to pass on Bosa, right? So it's so hard, I think, to envision a scenario where Bosa gets far enough and the 49ers are able to work a deal to get back up and get Bosa, unless there's just, you know, maybe unless the Raiders have Quinnen Williams ahead and they draft him, and then the Jets take Josh Allen at 3 because he fits their 3-4 defense a little better or something like that. And then Bosa's sitting there at 5. Maybe you can move up one more pick real quick and get him. But then I think Tampa would be just super stoked to get Bosa and ask for a lot. So the cost would be prohibitive in that point to move up one. I don't know. I've seen people throw that out there. It's unrealistic. If you want Bosa, you stay at 2. And you pick Bosa if he's even there, and there's a chance he still goes number 1 to the Cardinals. To Devin, tell me I'm wrong, but this offseason has everything Niners need. Options on the free agent market for edge defenders and safeties. Wide receivers could possibly be had on the trade block, and the draft is loaded with edge defenders, even in a trade down scenario for OBJ. You're not wrong. I am not going to tell you you're wrong, Devin, because you are correct. All of those things are out there. But it takes 2 to tango when it comes to free agents. And money can get weird, and the 49ers haven't been willing to do a lot. But I wonder if the Jimmy Garoppolo contract, throwing so much at him, and then, you know, basically Garoppolo plus Jerick McKinnon last offseason was a lot of money. And that much money up front is probably, I mean, since they already had Garoppolo, it felt like they didn't go add somebody, but he's getting $30 million a year, and he has sort of a front-loaded contract to boot. So that kind of money could be basically what the 49ers paid Garoppolo and McKinnon. That could bring in Earl Thomas and Odell Beckham, right? That could pay those salaries. That could pay Earl Thomas and Justin Houston. Easy. So they're willing to spend. It's not that the 49ers haven't been willing to spend. They just haven't been super aggressive on the free agent market. This might be that year. But again, remember, you've got to re-up DeForest Buckner at some point. You can't like add two big money free agents and trade for Odell Beckham and give DeForest Buckner what he deserves and re-sign him long-term. Your cap would get really, really dicey in a hurry. So they have to be smart too. You can't just because you have a lot of cap room now, that doesn't mean you can just throw cash at everything and everybody and get stupid with it. So they still have to be smart, and they still have to hit on their draft picks. The draft is still so, so important to any team in the NFL, especially a rebuilding team like the 49ers. Oh, man, there's so many good questions. Let's see how rapid fire I can get through these. I know I'm not going to get to all of them. We will be hitting the mailbag again with Nick on Wednesday and hopefully have a lot more free agent news to talk about on Wednesday when free agency does open. Let's go to Team on Twitter. I feel pretty disappointed with the players we decided to keep. Please give me one good reason we kept Marsh, Watson, and restructured Smith. These players were below average last year. Please don't tell me they're going to see playing time again this year. And yeah, I forgot to mention the Malcolm Smith thing. Malcolm Smith restructured his contract so he wouldn't get cut. So that tells me I don't think they're going to look at linebacker in free agency because they're going to keep the veteran Malcolm Smith around, and Elijah Lee stepped up last year. I think they're going to create some competition there. They might bring a guy in to compete with them. They might draft a guy to compete with them as well, but I don't think they're going to go the CJ Mosley route, say, at the top of free agency. Unless maybe they can't do the other things they want with Earl Thomas and with the edge rushers, then they're like, okay, well, let's go to plan B. Maybe then CJ Mosley would be in the works. Hicks from Philadelphia would make some sense. It depends, obviously, on how much all these guys are going to cost, but it signals to me the 49ers aren't going to go heavy at linebacker and free agency after restructuring Malcolm Smith. And when it comes to Marsh and Watson, I don't know. And I guess with Malcolm Smith, too, these guys could all get cut post-draft. They could get cut in the summertime, too. So I think they're just keeping around as many. If they don't have Marsh and Watson, they've got zero edge players, right? So they got to keep some guys. So ideally, and Marsh and Watson aren't the worst players in the NFL. I think if you add a couple of guys, then they're right where they need to be in a rotational area, you know, the fourth and fifth rushers on the team rather than the first and second edge guys on third down, basically. So I think that's where Marsh and Watson fit. But they're definitely not long-term impact pieces. I think, team, you're right about that. It's pretty obvious. Let's go to Jarvis. He says, hey, Brian, hope you and your family are doing well. Thank you so much, Jarvis. I appreciate that. My question is, with all of the free agent pass rushers available, would it be smart for the Niners to trade a possible second for D Ford and possibly lose out on drafting Deebo Samuel? Yeah, whether it's Deebo Samuel or a safety or a linebacker or an offensive lineman or any other wide receiver that might be, and there's a ton of them that are worthy of that early second round range, I think that's a great question that the 49ers have to ask themselves. And I think that's why maybe Kansas City didn't get an offer for a second rounder for Dee Ford. And maybe that's why they finally decided to just release Justin Houston instead, and they're going to hold on to Dee Ford. And that's what it seems like is going on right now in Kansas City. We'll see. But you're right. I think the Dee Ford stuff is only going to come into play. If I was the GM, I would still be trying to sign the free agents that you don't have to give up a draft pick for. And then maybe if those fall through and you can't get anybody to come, then you say, okay, well, maybe Dee Ford, we can give him some money, and maybe try to offer the next year's second rounder instead, or maybe a third rounder this year. But yeah, it does feel a little rich to give Dee Ford crazy money for an edge rusher that he'll probably command, and also a second round pick when there's other options out there, and you'd be missing out on a really premium draft pick, a high second round pick that's only a few picks away from being a late first rounder. All right, we got time for a couple more here. Let's go to Small to a Giant on Twitter. Hello, Brian. Love the pod. Gets me through traffic. My question is, what's up with the slow approach to free agency? You hear other teams in the news. Nothing on our end. Dante Fowler gone on a one-year deal. I feel like we should hop on Houston ASAP. Yeah, and since Houston's been released, they could technically sign him before the free agent period starts. And maybe Houston does end up signing with somebody as early as today. And the 49ers should definitely be on that. The 49ers should absolutely be on that. I agree. And look, it's still, you know, free agency hasn't opened yet, so I don't think there's a lot that the 49ers need to do. There was the Antonio Brown stuff. There's a couple guys that got cut. There's not really anybody that the 49ers can re-up on their own end. So I think you have to play the waiting game here. So let's wait a few days before we get worried about non-action from the 49ers. Tanner wants to know about Deontay Thompson. He is the safety from Alabama. Is he fit as an option at the top of the second? Does an Earl Thomas signing have an impact on the safety position in the draft? Yeah, I think signing Earl Thomas makes you not really need to go there. But if you don't sign Earl Thomas or you don't make a splash at free safety in free agency, then someone like Deontay Thompson might be a really nice fit. And I think that's a good range for Deontay Thompson, who has range to be that single high free safety at the top of the second round. He's probably the second best safety prospect in the draft. I think there's a chance he might sneak into the end of the first round too. I think Nasir Adderley is probably the number one safety as far as the single high variety goes. And there's not very many guys after that. Another name to remember on day two, maybe third round area, would be Juan Thornhill, who had a really nice combine running 4.4s, and he was on the 49ers South squad at the Senior Bowl. So if Nasir Adderley or Deontay Thompson are there at the top of the second round, I could see that for sure happening if Earl Thomas is not brought in. And even if the 49ers did sign a free safety or Earl himself, maybe Juan Thornhill in the third round is someone they could still try to draft and develop behind him. Okay, let's end it with Marion. He said, who goes with an upgrade at receiver, Bourne, James, or Taylor? None of them. None of the above. Bourne, James, and Taylor are all going to be around. I think you can bring six guys in and keep six guys at wide receiver. And they had that last year with Pierre Garçon. So the fact that Pierre Garçon's gone, that's who gets replaced with an upgrade at receiver. So whoever they add, let's say they add a second round wide receiver, you've got that guy. You've got Pettis, Goodwin, Bourne, James, Taylor. All those guys, there's room for them. Carry six wide receivers, you're golden. Bourne, James, and Taylor are going to stick. And they could even add another receiver in the draft, potentially holding on to seven, or maybe bringing in another undrafted free agent to hang out on the practice squad for a while, a la what Bourne did for the 49ers and worked his way in and ended up being the leading yardage gainer at wide receiver for the 49ers last year. But it's a really stacked draft class, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did dip in day three later in the draft, or even brought in some pretty good undrafted free agents that most years would be draftable talents at wide receiver. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. It's going to be a fun week. It should be a crazy frenzy of free agent action. We'll have it all covered for you here on the podcast. Thanks to everybody for getting in those mailbag questions. I've still got some in the queue. We're going to continue to hit those this week and have some very special guests lined up for you as well right here on Locked On 49ers.